and we're pleased to be joined by the chair of the Idaho Democrat Party, Laura Nekachea. Chair Nekachea, welcome to the program. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thanks, and good morning to you.
Well, we're excited to have you on, and I always appreciate we've had Alana Rubel on a number of times. We've had James Ruckte on. Of course, he's a Democrat from our side of the state. And even though we often disagree on a number of points, I always appreciate the conversations. And so I'm glad you've opened the door to us and we've opened the door to you, and we can talk about what's happening in Idaho this morning. So we do welcome you to the program. And I guess I'll ask you right out of the gate. This has been a very unique legislative session. It's seen friction between Republicans and Democrats, but also Republicans and other Republicans. And I'd love your take on this. And as we get into these waning days of the legislative session, how do you feel that it's gone?
I have not seen this outside of, you know, a big national recession where we're in dire straits with the budget, and that means a lot of disagreement and a lot of things to work through. Unfortunately, there's the Republican supermajority is not willing to kind of patch the hole in the budget that's leading to all kinds of cuts, from, you know, wildfire prevention and suppression to public safety to Medicaid mental health treatment therapies for, you know, kids with disabilities. Just because resources are so constrained, you are seeing, as you said, a unique session where, and well, I will say every session that there's infighting among the Republican Party, but it's unique because the stakes are so high and there's just a lot at risk.
So, and I would agree that there certainly has been these points of difference that have gone on. But I do want to ask you, what is your solution? And you do speak for the Democrat Party. Do you think that Idahoans just we need to raise the tax rates again? Or I know many of the people in your party would like to dip into the rainy day fund that we have. So if you could craft the solution to this, what would it be?
So certainly the rainy day fund is exactly for these types of scenarios. And especially when we know we're going to, like with wildfires, the amount of money they're allocating for wildfires isn't going to get us through a week of the summer. And we all know that they're putting that on a credit card. So why not just tap the reserves and let's be honest about it? I think we absolutely need to do that. We need to look at the voucher bill. It's one thing to say we're going to go out there and replace private dollars that were being spent last year on private and religious schools, and we're going to put tax dollars towards that. If you have extra money, we don't have extra money. And they did that without raising any revenue. They said, we're going to start this whole new thing and put your tax dollars are going to go to someone else's private school that they paid for last year, but we're not going to raise any revenue to do it. So that is one part of the patch. We also have a problem with our income tax rates. They knew they were doing too much last year, and that's why they adopted a revenue estimate that was higher than the Idaho State Tax Commission. You know, any sort of economic forecasting thought it would be. They kind of monkeyed with the numbers to make it look like all this money was going to come in so they could do $250 million in income tax, really concentrated at the top of the income spectrum. And they've been doing this every year. One year when I was in the legislature for 5 years. One year they cut those top income rates twice. And just over the last 5 years, the accumulated impact of that is that if you're in the top 1%, your household is getting a benefit of $20,000 a year from just the past 5 years of tax cuts. If you're in the middle, you're getting $453 on average. And if you're at the bottom, you're getting $33 in that bottom 20% bracket. So it's really upside down compared to what I think working families need. In the midst of all of this, the Republicans also did away with our child tax credit, which just gave, you know, working families an extra boost at that most expensive time in your life. You know, you're trying to raise kids, you know, here's a couple hundred bucks. And they canceled that. They got rid of it so that they could do these, you know, big tax cuts for people at the top. And they went too far. And so we have to dial it back if we're going to, you know, be able to fund firefighters, Idaho State Police. And again, Medicaid, the things are, that are on the chopping block in Medicaid are very popular for your listeners and my supporters across the board.
Yeah. So, by the way, we're talking with Lauren Nekicz. She chairs the Democrat Party in Idaho. And I asked you to kind of lay this out. So I didn't want to interrupt you, but I do want to go back to what you said. And I feel the need to correct the verbiage that you used. It is not a voucher. It is a tax credit. And there's a very specific reason. Vouchers are crafted very differently than tax credits are. But we actually had the same exact conversation with Senator Ruckty when we interviewed him. Why is your side so hell-bent on characterizing a mere tax credit as a voucher? It seems dishonest.
Well, because it functions like a voucher, and that's what people understand. Tax credits function in all different kinds of ways and work differently, but people understand the word voucher because that's what it's a voucher by another mechanism.
Okay.
You get the cash back. If you want to call it a tax credit that reimburses your private school tuition, you can. I just think it's easier for people to understand.
By your definition, the launch program is a voucher.
It is a
voucher.
Sure. Scholarship.
Okay. How is it not a voucher?
Potato, potato.
That's exactly what Senator Ruckty said. So, okay, well, Chair Nekicz, we can move on to another issue here. When you...
One distinction with the launch program is that it creates new access to new things that people didn't have before. It creates access to welding programs after, you know, in post-secondary education or going to a nursing program. You can call it your tax credit. I can call it a voucher. It's a voucher scheme. But that's all that is doing is replacing private dollars with taxpayer dollars.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can move to another issue. I know this year, of course, is a legislative election, and all the legislative seats are up. And I've seen, you know, because I follow what the Democrats are saying. You guys have a lot of candidates that are running this year. So I'd like you to maybe lay that out for us and tell us about, you know, this year and this effort to get more candidates on the ballot for the Democrat Party.
This has been a big push the last couple of cycles. For decades, we left too many seats unchallenged. And that's not healthy. It's not healthy for any voter, left or right, if the candidate has no challenge in the general election. And I would say what's happening is that as that's happened over the years, Republicans are only looking over their shoulder to the right. So they have to get more and more extreme to compete in their primary challenge. And we've seen a lot of outside money come in and try to get the most extreme conservative candidate through the Republican primary. And then that's not healthy. And then you have Republicans, and I saw it on the House floor and people whispered it to me. It's like, oh, I know this bill is bad, but I have to vote for it or they're going to attack me in the Republican primary. And so what we need to do as Democrats is to create that pressure and accountability from the left and say, hey, what you're doing is, you know, hurting working families. Why do you keep cutting taxes for the rich people? And then you cancel the child tax credit that helps regular families. There needs to be somebody at that, you know, local community candidate event. There needs to be somebody saying that in the community and putting that pressure on our leaders from the left. Because, you know, if things get too extreme, I think most of your listeners would agree that it's not good. And that's also what it also does is it makes incumbents beholden to the donor class and afraid of, you know, how the big money is going to attack them instead of really listening to their voters.
So let's talk about that for just a moment, because one of the frustrations that we have on the right is this issue of crossover voting. And I am seeing on left-leaning Facebook groups and others, there is a very proactive effort to recruit left-leaning people who probably vote Democrat in every November forever. But they are trying to interfere in the Republican primary. Can I get you on record, Lauren, condemning this practice of Democrats registering as Republicans to fiddle with the primary elections in the Republican Party?
I'm the chair of the Idaho Democratic Party. I want people to register as Democrats, to serve as precinct captains in our party, to vote in our Democratic primary, where we have contested races, both statewide and in some local legislative districts. And so I want Democrats signing up as Democrats and voting in our primary.
Okay, so you would discourage Democrats, maybe condemn is a strong word, but you would at least discourage Democrats from jumping into a, disingenuously registering as Republicans to extract the candidate they like better.
I want Democrats registered as Democrats. That's what's going to strengthen our party.
Okay. All right. Well, next one, you probably anticipated I was going to ask you about this. Tim Walz, Lauren, really? Tim Walz, you brought Tim Walz to Idaho. Do you really think that's going to that's going to help Democrats in a red state like Idaho to get energized and help them out?
We had a sold out crowd. We had more people on our waiting list than actually attended the event with Donald Trump Jr. So, yes, people were very excited to hear from Governor Walz. He's been vilified because that's what happens in a presidential campaign. And he's done things in Minnesota that put working families first that would really benefit Idaho families. I just mentioned how the Idaho Republican supermajority canceled Idaho's measly child tax credit that was about $200. And you know what? You only got that full value of the $200 if your income tax bill was high enough. So you had to earn, you had to be a high earner in order to get the full value of that. In Minnesota, Governor Walz ushered in a $1,750 tax credit a year per kid, because he's in the corners of, he wants to be in the corner of working families and help them at that, give families a boost at that hardest time financially. So I think he's misunderstood. I think if a lot of your listeners met him and heard his priorities, they would have a different view.
Are you concerned at all about the massive amount of fraud that is in Minnesota that has happened under his watch? I mean, politics aside, just that alone is concerning. Wouldn't you agree?
Fraud is a concern everywhere. It was a concern in Florida when U.S. Senator Rick Scott was leading a company that was found to have undertaken something like $200 billion in fraud against Medicare. And so we have to take that seriously everywhere. Governor Walz is working on strengthening that and strengthening those audits. And I mean, prosecutions have been happening for years around this. This isn't something new. But if you're gonna critique someone for fraud happening in their state by someone else, like, let's look at the grift and the fraud that, Republicans themselves have done, like Rick Scott, who's now a U.S. senator. He made a lot of money of that company that cheated Medicare, and then he used those funds to buy himself, a governor seat and then the U.S. Senate. And so Governor Walz did not commit any fraud, and he is working on correcting it and strengthening audits and prosecuting people who are the bad actors and who did the wrong thing. What we can't do is what we saw from the federal administration, to say, okay, now all childcare dollars are going to be withheld. You're going to punish everybody. You're going to punish kids and working families because one bad actor, when, or some, group of businesses did something shady and wrong. that needs to be corrected. Like the punishment has to go to the people who did the bad act.
Yeah.
That's who needs to be held accountable.
All right. Last question for you, Chairwoman Nekachia. We have in East Idaho mostly Republican lawmakers. We do have a Democrat or two, but particularly in East Idaho, we have lawmakers that actually vote with the Democrats much more often than the average Republican lawmaker does in Idaho. People like Stephanie Mickelson and Ben Furman and Aaron Bingham and others. Are you grateful for their votes? Because they about 40% of the time, 35 to 40% of the time, they're voting with the Democrats in the legislature. Are you grateful that they align with you a pretty good portion of the time?
I'm grateful for the Democratic caucus that, and over the years I've seen, it kind of can keep the government running. There were years where the Medicaid budget only passed because of Democratic votes, Democrats voting with the Republicans who weren't going to defund Medicaid just on a given Tuesday because they wanted to throw a tantrum or score some political points for some index that was measuring how conservative they were. So I give credit to the Democratic caucus for, you know, wise votes that are common sense and that I think align with most voters. Most voters don't want us to defund Medicaid. Even as the state gets more conservative, Medicaid expansion gets more popular, and something like 85% of voters in Idaho, you know, want strong Medicaid and they don't want to see Medicaid cut. So yeah, there are absolutely times when the common sense thing that pretty much anyone you came up to on the street and said should we, you know, fund Medicaid or not, that there are Democrats are going to vote for that. And then there's a group of Republicans that are going to vote for it. And then there are the extremist Republicans who just vote no on everything. And, you know, just to make statements, not because, you know, I think if they were had to actually be held accountable for their actions, they would behave differently.
All right. Our guest this morning, Lauren Nekachia. She chairs the Idaho Democrat Party. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it and would love to have you on another time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Neil.
All right.